Before Andy comes and shares with us, let me read from Romans 11, verses 33 to 36, and then Romans 12, verses 1 to 16. And Andy will pick up on this in his message to us. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? Far from him, and through him, and for him are all things, and to him be the glory forever. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice, and those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Amen.
Hey, John, and first of all, I must give you all a big apology for my voice. It's not as painful as it sounds, but it is to you. I was running yesterday, and that was fine, and I'm okay generally, but my voice isn't. So bear with, and hopefully it won't be too much of a strain for you guys to listen to me. The guys on the sound desk have promised to do their best, but I don't think they're going to work miracles of making it sound nice, but at least you'll be able to hear me. A couple of things I just wanted to mention as we get going. First of all, you'll have seen Ian is around taking pictures today. We are at the moment redoing our church's website. We've got somebody engaged to do that, and we need pictures. And the temptation is to use a photo bank to do that, but we want to personalize it as much as possible to be real to here and authentic to who we are. Let me give you an assurance that we will not use a picture that identifies you or where you are identifiable without your express permission, okay? So Ian will carry on taking pictures throughout and afterwards as well. Thank you, Ian, for doing that. and we'll make sure that we get the permissions that we need. But generally, we're looking for unidentifiable pictures, but that give you that sort of sense of us at worship and what we're doing. And that will be used, as I say, for us to communicate and to connect with the community. Further to what John was saying, and of course, there's a sign-up sheet for next week or a QR code you can use. It's on the front screen to sign up, because we need to make sure that we know how many people are coming to make sure we get the right amount of food. There's a box here, a plastic box. Erica's done them out here. We've got these invites that we're delivering around the doors. But we also, this year, have invested in printing some Christmas cards. So that's what young Jack was getting ahead of himself. We have got Christmas cards. And what we would like you to do, in the Christmas card, it's got details of what's going on here and through Advent. It's got a little message. We want you to... it's also got in it an invitation to Alpha, which starts in January. And 16th of January, it's down there. It's all there that people can sign up for in this little card. What we'd like you to do, we've been in our evangelism hub group, we've been trying to help you understand that we believe that it would be a great help to us all if we could remember to pray for 5 people in our acquaintances and friends and family. 5 people who don't know Jesus. And we pray for those 5 people to come to know Jesus. So it's just one of those things that maybe helps you. You don't have to send this card to the 5 people that we're praying for. But what we'd like you to do is for everyone here, if you could take 5 Christmas cards and send them to people you know. And just say, you know, Happy Christmas, love, you know, here's my love and best wishes at this time of year. And then they will have an invitation, both along to church through the season. I think they're quite nice. We had them designed for us. They work quite well. And that's our theme this Advent is peace on earth. We live in a very, very needy world. And we need to see the peace of God this Christmas. Well, when we think about vision, I want to take you back. If you're on a journey, it really helps, doesn't it, to know where you're headed. Like, things have got so much better in the days since we moved to sat nav systems, massively, and. But you still need to know that destination. It's no good having a sat-nav if you don't know where you're going. You need to know where. You need to know the address. You need to know the place. You need to know what it is that you're aiming for. And then you get the instructions that guide you along the way. And you know what? It's exactly the same in life. Like, it really massively helps each one of us in our lives if we know where we're going. If we know where we're headed, if we have a sense of where we're moving to, we're coming from this place and we're going to that place, where we have this ambition or this purpose, this thing in mind that we want to do. And, you know, we need that. And so that's one of the reasons why both, you know, as both when we're journeying in the car, both as individuals and as a group of people, we need to have a sense of where we're going, a sense of what is it that we're aiming for and why. And then, of course, comes that plaintive cry that anyone that's driven with children will have heard many, many times. And you already know what it is that I'm going to say, don't you? What is it? Exactly. Are we there yet? And usually it's 5 minutes into the journey, and of course it's such a pointless question, because you'll know when we get to there. You'll know, but it's a good perhaps pause question for us. Are we there yet? Yesterday, I was able, and one of the reasons I'm a bit hoarse, I was able to celebrate with the folks at Ellen Baptist Church the opening of their new building. I mean, goodness, are we there yet? They were celebrating this moment that they've been working out for 14 years. They've had a building group, and finally they were moved into their new building down by the riverside. If you go to Ellen, turn right at the bridge and down into that wee car park, it's just down the road for there. And what an amazing building these guys have got. And what a journey of faith they've been on. But that's been their vision. And they have a vision for the town of Ellen that they're wanting to share with. And one of the reasons I'm sharing this with you is 40 years ago, Ellen Baptist Church was a plant of Bridge of Dawn Baptist. Wow. So sometimes it takes a while for these kind of, for plants to thrive. But don't ever give up. You know, it's God's got his purposes and he's working those purposes out. What a great thing. What a great legacy towards Lauren Turnage and others who were involved at that time in helping to get it started. So it's important. And the other part of the reason that I'm come back to this is a year ago this weekend, we were gathered together for Seeds, Roots, Shoots. And we, do you remember, had a church conference weekend. Steve Hibbert came up and spoke with us and challenged us in a few ways, just encouraged us and helped us to see that God was working in us. And it was from where we were that we needed to go, not rather from looking back. We needed to go from where we were to where he's calling us. We celebrate the past. We give thanks for that. But we look forward to where God is leading us. So this Sunday is an opportunity to look back, but really to look forward and to see where it is that we're going. And they have these three guide words that help us to keep on track with our vision. Where are we going? Well, we're going to places that these words help us to see. First of all, the first word I want to help you see, and I'm looking here at the first part of Romans chapter 12 as well. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, however you're doing that, on paper or online with your phone or an app, that's fine. But we're in Romans chapter 12, and we're looking at just here with the first two verses, worship. And in Romans chapter 12, we're told something about worship. We're told that worship involves offering our bodies as living sacrifices. This is our true and proper worship. Verse 1. Worship, the word, comes from worth-ship, Old English. And what that means is, what do you value? What do you hold on to? What do we acknowledge as the thing of most value in our lives? And friends, we all hold on to something. We all worship something. Every single person, even the folks who are not here at church, even the, what is it? I think it was almost 60% of people in the city of Aberdeen who said that they have no religion in the latest census. Even those folk are worshiping something. They're worshiping, everyone worships something. We all hold something as our guiding star, as a thing that holds onto it. It might be our family, it might be ourselves, it might be the career, it might be the things that we own or possess. Worship is something that is just part of being a human. And actually, worship demands or encourages us to bring offerings. And here we're instructed about what it is that we should be worshiped. We can worship so many fake things, so many things that don't really work, so many things that don't lead us forward in life. But we're encouraged to worship God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And with that crescendo, the Apostle Paul says, now, remember, this is your true and proper worship, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So often we think of worship as involving our emotions. We think of worship as involving our spiritual sides of our being. I wonder actually if we think enough about worship involving our bodies. What you do with your body for 168 hours a week, not just two, what you do with your body for 168 hours a week matters to God. That is your worship. And that's what this guide word helps us to understand, that worship isn't just us gathering together for 1 or 2 hours a week. It is actually a lifestyle that we're being encouraged to make. And Romans 12 helps us to understand that. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So as you go through your week, where you are, the physical you, the real you, the bring everything of you, not just part of you. God wants all of you. And true worship is what we do with all of us, with everything that we have to give, in every moment that we have to give. So worship, yes, believe it or not, worship can involve when you're driving. Worship can involve when you're at work. Worship can involve when you're shopping. Worship can involve when you're looking after children. Worship can involve when you're cooking tea. Worship can involve every part of our lives. And we want to help recognize that as a people and as a body of God. And this worship is, when we get a hold of worship being everything and part of our everything, then this worship is transforming. Look at it, says in verse 2, don't conform to the pattern of the world. This world is trying to press us into a certain pattern. Don't conform to that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Worship, in this true sense, is transforming, or should be. It redirects our minds. It encourages us and helps us to think God's thoughts after Him. Wow. We get to think God's thoughts. So no wonder then we find the fruits of the Spirit begin to spill out of our lives, because when we're becoming true worshipers with all that we are and dedicating every moment of our lives, we find suddenly that God is enabling us to see His character come through us, His thoughts, His way of thinking flow through us. And so it is then that the Apostle Paul writes, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants great things for us, because God wants things that lead to His glory and to the wonder of who He is. He wants us to know that we were made for Him and to enjoy His love forever and ever. You'll be able to test and prove that by this transforming of your mind that comes from true worship. The next word that we have is connect. And here, I'm guided from the Romans 12 passage from verse 3 to verse 8. It's a great little passage there, because it tells us, you know, verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, these members don't all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Connect. We need to be connected. Bodies chopped apart don't work very well. Bodies that are disconnected don't function. You know, just even that slight disconnection of having a sore back or a sore leg or a sore whatever, it disconnects us from what we normally feel that we can do. We need to be connected. And we need to here guard against individualism. I love the poet John Donne. He's nobody very contemporary. John Donne lived in Elizabethan Britain and around 1600, 400 years ago, but he wrote some amazing poetry. And one of the things that John Donne wrote is that no man, and of course in his day he meant women as well, included in that word, no man is an island. No man is an island. But everyone is part of the whole and connected together. And it's so, so important that we remember that. God has distributed faith and gifts. That's what it's saying here in Romans 12. God has not only distributed gifts, but He's distributed faith in different measures. Some people have lots of faith. Some people have very little. Some people have lots of gifts. Some people don't seem to have that many. But actually, everyone has got faith and everyone's got a gift. And they've got what they need. And God has given it to everybody. But the whole point is God has given you the amount that you need in order that you, connected to the whole, can contribute something, can add. That actually together we can do way, way more than we can do on our own. No one has everything that's needed, so we need each other. God has made us interdependent. And also God has blessed us with an incredible diversity. I mean, I look around and I think, where else would you find a collection of people like us? You know, that we are actually gathered together into the same space and trying to do the same thing, heading in the same direction, is a wonder. But it's a work of God. And it's a witness to the community. That actually, if there's one thing we agree about, it's not politics. It's not the way that you invest your money. It's not what you do or even, you know, the jobs that you have or the hobbies that you enjoy. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one thing that connects us. And his purposes in the world. We trust and believe in Jesus and we follow him together. And we do that from lots and lots of different places. And God blesses that diversity. Just look at nature. And God didn't, he could have just made one tree, right, for the whole world. But he didn't. God blesses us with diversity in every part of life. And so we should actually count it a real blessing to be here and say, what does it mean? What does it mean to do this together? What does it mean for us to stay connected? We belong to each other. We need each other. So we each have different gifts. And here the encouragement is in verse 6, according to the grace given us, we each have different gifts. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, to give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to do mercy, do it cheerfully. If it's to play in the band, play in the band. If it's to take photographs and help us as a church, do that. If it's to administrate, then do that. If it's to serve coffee, then do that. If it's to be on the sound desk, then do that. If it is to help people kind of through the building, then do that. If it is to chat to somebody who you're sitting next to at church today, then do that, because we really need those kind of folk. But we need everybody. Do you get it? We need everybody. Use it in accordance with your faith for the benefit of everyone. Here's something that came to me as I was preparing. What is your gift? Think about that, because what this passage is saying, everyone has one. You've got a gift, right? Maybe you haven't yet identified what your gift is. Everyone has got something that is unique to them that they can give. And I believe when looking at all of you, you've got gifts. What is your gift? And then here's the thing. Don't compare. We're terrible, aren't we, at comparing things to others. We say, oh, yeah, but so-and-so's got so much more than me, or so-and-so does it so much better than me. No, no. Don't compare. Contribute. Use what you've got. Finally, the final word that we've got is in our three words, worship, connect, and grow. Don't worry. Some people have worried about the order here. Don't worry about that, because it doesn't really matter the order, right? Because all three words work together. And our designer, she just felt that grow fitted in the middle. So we'll put up with that. But actually, grow does fit in the middle. And there's a reality to that. Grow, and here I'm looking at Romans 12, verses 9 through to the remainder of the chapter, actually, because it talks about the impact that actually as we worship, as we get connected both to God and to each other, then we will grow. And there's some marks here of growth. We need to grow in love, first of all. Verse 9, love must be sincere. And then verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. So love is at the very center of what we're about. Why? Because Jesus, God, has demonstrated his love to us. God the Father has demonstrated his love to us in Jesus. God comes to us in relationship, in the relationship of the Trinity, the fact that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit hold together in perfect love. And they want to invite us into their love. The one God invites us to come into the circle of his love through Jesus and to experience that love in the Holy Spirit so that we may know the love of the Father, not just momentarily, but forever. Wow, that's amazing. Let's get a hold of that. And so it is that we work, we grow in love, because when we're kind of stewing in that pot of love, when we're imbibing the flavors, maybe that's a bad metaphor, I don't know. But when we're there being surrounded by love, I kind of want to take that cooking metaphor forward, but sorry about this. We're kind of like marinating in love, and it's getting into us. And when that's happening, it's because we're in it and surrounded by it. So we should see evidence of it in our journey together. So it talks about never be lacking in zeal, keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. So we should look to grow in zeal. We should look to grow in service, because that's how we're exercising these gifts that God has given us. And then we get this wonderful, wonderful threesome here in verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I mean, there are three sermons just in that. But think about that. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What I want to say is these are, if you want to know, am I following Jesus well enough? Am I making progress along life's journey? Just think back to this. Am I growing in faith? Am I growing in love? Am I growing in zeal? Am I growing in service to God? Am I joyful in hope? Am I patient in affliction? Oh, that's a bit of a hard one. Am I faithful in prayer? You know what? I could do better. I know that. And that's one of the reasons I'm on this journey. That's one of the reasons we talk about this word grow, because actually the goal is to keep growing, not to stop, to keep on going. And it's impossible to do this on our own. We need to watch out for the danger of the stunted life, because you're never too old or big to grow. But it's impossible to do this on our own, that we need the Holy Spirit. How else are we going to bless those who persecute us? How else are we going to live in harmony? How else are we going to have the humility that it takes to kind of get along and to be willing to associate with people of low position and not to be conceited? Friends, we need to worship, to connect, and grow. We've made some progress on that journey together, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. It's where we're headed. And we will all get there. And God will do great things among us as we try to do it. So let's get hold of the vision. Let's go for it together. Let's do this together and take another year of aiming to do just these things. And God will continue to bless us as we do that. Thank you, John.
Okay, let's conclude this part of our service by singing again another wonderful song.